Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 5th of March, recording at 8:16 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, okay, what's going on here today? First, in terms of global stock markets, this is an impressive day here overall. Most of the Asian stock markets were higher, and particularly China, so I'll start there, really, in my discussion this evening. Because China has been really choppy here recently, part of the reason for that, I think, is because we're still in this National People's Congress in Beijing, where the outgoing government and the incoming government are all discussing policies and plans and transition. So it's maybe not the easiest time to keep one's eye on the market ball here overall. But as you know, we had that big downside move in the stock market on Monday, and we had big gains in here today. It didn't regain the whole decline that we saw on Monday, but what was interesting technically is that Shanghai Composite Index moved back above, or the A-share index moved back above that 2400 level overall. And so that kept the decline to around or less than a third of the gains that we'd seen really since early December. And it's back above the 200-day moving average. So if China can hold there and move up somewhat tomorrow, which is by no means assured here overall, but if that does occur, then we can assume that we're going to be in a sort of maybe an all, well, it's already a choppy ranging consolidation phase. Whereas if we were to see it head lower and take out the low starting point here today, then that would suggest that we were going to get much more of a medium to longer term, well, medium term, as that can be a number of months, right-hand extension, base formation mentioned extension. Now, it's easy to see why there's uncertainty in terms of China's activity. There are various problems. One is the fear of a property bubble, and we know that property prices and property speculation had flared up here once again. So obviously China does not want that to actually take place. But I think the more serious problem overall is the air pollution, which is a nightmare. If you talk to anyone who visits Beijing regularly, Owen has mentioned this on a number of occasions, and it's very bad in Hong Kong. I had noticed that over the last few decades, but it's much worse. I'm glad I'm not going there while that's going on. So China's problem here. First, they want to rein in the property market speculation, but they also want to stimulate the economy, and they want to increase the overall GDP growth rate, which is understandable, because the third big problem and concern is the disparity in terms of wealth creation. So you've got that ruling class and the princelings that are hugely wealthy, and then you've got just about everybody else. And one of the ways that China can distribute wealth more broadly is to lean on the property speculation, but to encourage an overall stock market recovery. And I think that that's what they would actually like to do. But what's going to be the engine for that? And China's metal bashing economy is really not appropriate, not least because of the pollution that it actually creates. So that's the dilemma here overall. I was talking to a very, very knowledgeable subscriber this afternoon who said that, well, it's a bit like Japan. If you go back to the late 1960s and the early 1970s, when it moved more to a consumption-based economy. And that also did usher in the period of strongest GDP growth for Japan. And so that's the transition that China's trying to make, and I think it will produce a good stock market performance in the years ahead. But right now, you can see they're wrestling with these various problems. Well, that's a lot on that one subject. Japan, I think, remains attractive. Vietnam remains attractive, but also the ASEAN sectors are doing well. And today, if I move on to the Americas, Wall Street has seen the Dow Jones Industrial Average move to a new all-time, I should add numerical, because it's not a new high on an inflation-adjusted basis, but it has taken out its 19, beg your pardon, it's taken out its 2007 peak. Now, what's interesting is that you might have noticed in some of the chart reviews that the Dow Jones Transportation Index had done that nearly a month ago and has pushed steadily higher subsequently. So with the Dow moving to a new high, I mean, provided that holds this upward break, let alone extends it, that will be one heck of a potentially important Dow theory signal, Dow theory buy signal. It's not something that I refer to all that often because it's an exceptionally long-term, or it's, I was going to say, exception. It can be an exceptionally long-term indicator, but it's a lagging indicator, and it takes quite a strong market move up or down to actually generate the signal. So it gets whipsawed a fair amount of the time. But if we were to see the Dow follow the transport index into new all-time high ground and maintain it, that would be, in my opinion, one of the more impressive Dow theory signals, and obviously bullish. Now, what about the overall corrective phase that I've been talking about really since late January? And what's interesting is that until today, we had not had 3 consecutive days to the upside on Wall Street. I think there certainly is, as far as the Dow is concerned, really since the 25th of January, I believe. So it has been a bit choppy, but with an upward bias here overall. And at the opposite extreme, we've seen a much bigger corrective phase in the European stock market indices, although they're all a bit firmer in here today. So that's the type of pause that I described on a number of occasions. I have described it as saying that it would look to be characteristic of a pause and reaction and consolidation within an ongoing bull market. So that's what it looks like as we complete the first week of March. So that'd be 5 weeks overall. Now, this may well go on for a while longer, but so far, as I say, it looks like a normal reaction and consolidation rather than the sort of rollover and bungee jump to the downside type of correction that caused so much stress and angst in last year and in earlier years. My own view also is that we're near the we're entering the latter years of the valuation contraction cycle. Valuations, of course, have been increasing since November, given the strength of this overall stock market rally. But the process, really from 1999 onwards, has been for valuations to start contracting as that last super cycle bull market ended, that ran from 1983 into 1999. And my hope and expectation is that we're now in the latter stages of the valuation contraction cycle, something that we've been talking about it really since 2000, and we had referred to it for a while as a secular bear trend, but I was never quite happy with that description, which a number of people did use, so I came up with the valuation contraction cycle, which I think is a much more accurate description of it overall. The big stumbling block that lies ahead is, of course, the end of QE. And that's something that Warren Buffett commented on quite recently in CNBC. And I've put up the videos from that period, as well as some of the written text for you to see. It's well worth, I think, any subscriber's time. Warren Buffett has this wonderful capacity to distill what seem to be complicated and controversial policies down to the basic simple truths. And what I was also encouraged to see is that he continues to feel that equities are by far the most attractive asset class here today, even at today's valuations. And I think he said that in contrast, that holding long-dated government bonds was dumb. I think those were the words. But Buffett had also said regarding the ending of QE and those interest rates going up, that's certainly going to cause at least some corrections in stock markets and possibly a bear market, depending on the circumstances of that transformation. I think it's by no means certain that we would get a bear market, but it depends on other events at the time. And one can only guess at this stage, and it'll need to be handled delicately and effectively by the central bankers involved. But Buffett's term for rising interest rates, which is, of course, what will happen as they end the QE, not least in terms of long-dated government bonds, he referred to interest. He said interest rates are like gravity. Well, when you think about that, that really does sum it all up, doesn't it? Now, moving on here today, long-dated government bond prices still very much range-bound. The prices are a little bit weaker, so yields will have edged up a lot, but there's not much activity in that market here today. Where we do see more activity, some of the precious metals are firmer, particularly platinum and palladium. The industrial metals have all moved higher in here today, and that's been quite a weak sector overall, partly because of the concern over how China is going to resolve its various conflicts that I was discussing at the beginning of the audio overall. And gold had rallied up to 1558 and 80 cents, but then fell back down towards 1571. It's currently 1575 60, and that's up just over $3, $3.10 right now. So gold's still under pressure. It's at the lower side of its range for the last several years. But the basic problem, as I see it, it's not monetary factors, which I've always felt were the biggest threat to the gold price overall. In other words, low interest rate environment is favorable for gold and so many other investments, whereas higher interest rates are a problem, or strong interest rates, high interest rates are a problem, because gold does not have any yield. But I think the other problem is that so many people bought gold over the last 10 to 12 years, and they're moving out to buy equities or back into cash or whatever they're doing. And that is still that supply factor is still weighing on the gold price overall. So in terms of upside, it's still very much for the bulls to provide evidence of strength, and we're not seeing that in here right now. And I think this selling pressure, which has also caused the gold ETF to break its beneath its 200-day moving average for the first time in a long time, is a concern for the short to medium term. Now, elsewhere, I mentioned the firmer tone in industrial commodities. Among the foods, we see a quiet environment here overall. There's not a great deal going on. Soybeans a little steadier, but rough rice, fortunately, has pulled back over the last 5, 6 weeks. And that was quite a would have been quite a concern if rough rice had kept pushing higher. So not too bad a background there in terms of inflationary pressures. And of course, we've also had the pullbacks in crude oil. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.